a guy that I look up to, a guy that's come alongside Authentic and myself and Melissa and helped build it. And he's built into so many people's lives. He's seen genuine revival when he was out in Te Araha. He's seen so many people healed. He's seen so many people saved. I think he has to be one of the most proficient evangelists in Hamilton today. He goes into people's houses. He installs Sky TV. And then if you're sick, you better watch out because this guy will get you healed. And then he'll lead you to Christ. And then he'll dump you in a church. And he's done that for, I don't know, tens, hundreds of people across this area. He's the real deal, my friends. Be excited, be expectant, get ready. Jeff, come on up here, man.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I tell you what, there's nothing quiet about me. 23 years ago, I was at the pinnacle of my career in buying dairy farms and bought my second dairy farm, and at the same time as I bought my second dairy farm, we had our third little baby girl, and my wife had a little bit of a meltdown, a little bit of postnatal depression, and right then she decided she'd had enough of a workaholic husband, and that she really wanted to leave and go on with a life without me. And so right then, when you think you're just making it in the world, and this often happens to many of us, just when you think you're eventually at the pinnacle, when you're doing something really awesome, there's a way of life has of sort of ripping the rug out under you. And I thank God, I praise God, I just rejoice in the fact that these obstacles and these opportunities come along in order to bring us to a place where we come to Christ. Because in the middle of that brokenness, I was challenged, in the middle of a depression, in the middle of a broken marriage, I was challenged to ask Jesus Christ to make himself real in my life. And I want to start, before I say anything else, just honoring the God that saved me, amen. Because when I stand here tonight, I think, good Lord, I was nobody. I was fit to be taken outside and shot like a dog. I was really just a mongrel. I was seeking to serve myself. I was full of anger and lust and all sorts that the world said was the way a man should be. But in reality, I was just a greedy, immoral man. But I thank God that in the midst of that, God still loved me. And I want to say to you tonight, I don't know where you're at. I don't know what circumstance you find yourself in tonight, but I want to tell you, I don't care how bad or how low you've gone. Hallelujah. God loves you. Amen. And God's here tonight and he wants to reach out and touch you in that place of need. Because it's so many times we have this feeling we've sunk so low that surely I'm just too far away from God. I tell you what, God's here right now. Feel his presence in this place tonight. Just breaks my heart when I think how much he loves us, how much his purpose and his destiny is for us, and how much he showed his love for us and what he did on that cross for us. Jesus loves you, amen. And tonight, before we even start preaching, I just want to honor you, Father. I want to thank you for your presence here tonight. Lord, I just know that you're going to do something powerful in this place. You're going to break through for lives tonight. There's going to be healings in these meetings, Father God. There are going to be calls, hallelujah, birthed in these meetings in Jesus' name. You see, without Jesus, it's nothing. Without Jesus, I'm just a lot of bag of wind. Without Jesus walking into houses and sharing my little stories and praying for people, nothing would happen. But 23 years ago, when Jesus came into my heart, something radical turned on inside of me. You see, I'd cried out to him, said, God, if you're real, make yourself real. And 10 days later, Jesus came into my bedroom. Hallelujah. The power of God filled the room. I was delivered of depression. I was delivered of the anger. I was delivered of all those ugly things that were in me. And he began a journey of seeking to please him, to seeking to live my life, to honor him. And out of that, he gave me my marriage back. He gave me my health back. He sent me out to plant church. He sent me around the world. He's provided finance. He's provided a home where I am in Tamahere now. He gives me open doors of favor up and down the nation, wherever I go. What I've learned is, you see, so many people are waiting for God to bring revival. But God's waiting for you to be the revival. Hallelujah. You see, ever since I was born, I heard people praying out, you know, if my people would humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and then all these things would happen. And God says that he's going to bring revival from the north. And then you go up north and he'd say he's going to bring it from the south. And then you go down to somewhere else and he'd bring it from the east. And all I found was, I don't know about all those words, but I knew that once Jesus came inside of me, there was already a revival beginning in me. There was something of a hunger that I couldn't turn off. The moment I knew that there was a God out there and he loved me, I still couldn't understand how he could love me. But I just knew that the moment I grabbed a hold of the truth, that he had destiny for me, amen? And I want to say to you tonight, he's got destiny, he's got purpose, he's got a plan for your life, amen? He began with this little man just teaching me that when you begin to seek him with all your heart, he turns up.
He starts giving you favour. He starts opening doors. You see, this conference is called Power and Presence. There is no other message for the gospel other than power and presence. Anywhere that Jesus turned up, there is what? Power and presence. When Jesus stepped up to his podium after 40 days in the wilderness, he opened the scriptures to the place where it was said, "The Spirit of the living God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me." Hallelujah. That anointing is the mark of God on our lives. Amen. And just as it was on Jesus, it's on you and I tonight. If you're calling yourself a Christian, you're calling yourself an anointed one. And if you're calling yourself an anointed one, then the Bible said that these signs shall follow. Hallelujah. First of all, you'll preach. Give me an amen. Come on. God's going to use your mouth. Amen. Just let me put something in my mouth. It's getting dry. I realized that from the moment I got saved that there was a problem. In the culture we live in, people like you to be quiet. They like you to settle down and not shake the whole atmosphere too much. And if you stand up too tall, they sort of cut your head off. But there was something in this little boy when I got saved that said, "I'm going to stand up." And I pray tonight, because you're here, that there's something inside of you that says, "I'm going to stand up." Amen. Jesus is going to turn up on my life and Jesus is going to touch our nation. Hallelujah. If that's inside of you tonight, come on. You say, "Yes, yes, Lord, that's me." We're claiming New Zealand for Jesus, amen. We're claiming a revival in this nation, Lord. And we're saying, "Father, use us. Use me." You see, most of us are so bound with the outside appearance of who we are and our culture and the way we've been brought up that we spend most of our life trying to work out how, as a Christian, we're going to work that into the Christian sort of culture, and we're going to try and stay the same and be a Christian. But I want to tell you something. This is going to really rock your boat. Hallelujah. He don't want you to live. He wants you to die. Did you hear me? He wants you to live so he can... Sorry. He wants you to die so he can live. See, all the enemy wants to keep you focused on is all the things on the outward side of your life. But Jesus wants you to focus on Christ in you, the hope of glory. This isn't something new. This isn't a new message. The moment I open my Bible, all I hear is it's about power and presence. It's about power and presence. Say that with me. It's about power and it's about presence. The power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ living on the inside of me, living on the inside of you. Amen? Come on. Hallelujah. This is the mystery. It's not that you'd be good Christians and do good works. It's to be anointed messengers, anointed ministers, empowered, hallelujah, creatures of Christ, new creations, amen, with healing in your hands, a word of deliverance in your mouth. Hallelujah, your footsteps are not to be ordered by yourself anymore. They're ordered by the Lord. You were commissioned when you gave your life to Christ. You were commissioned to a call. You weren't commissioned to sit and fill up a pew. You were commissioned to be used by God, amen. You are called to pray. You are called to fast. You are called to manifest kingdom power. And all I know is from the moment that I grabbed a hold of the word of God and I grabbed a hold of Jesus, that those signs began to follow my life. Hallelujah. It wasn't with a great rush at the beginning, but I learned that there's something that turns God on. It's when you seek him, when you wrestle with him, when you go hard after him, God turns up. You know, I continually have people since I was a baby Christian saying to me, "Jeff, you don't have to strive. You don't have to push." Well, I don't know where you find that in the New Testament. Paul's always pressing on. He's laying a hold of that he hasn't laid a hold of yet. He's saying, "I'm going after it. I'm not letting go till you bless me." That's the Old Testament. God hasn't changed. And every time and every season that I've chosen to say, "God, I'm going after you. God, I want to be used by you." Whether it was when I was 23 years ago, whether it's now as a man of God, I know that it still works the same for me today. When I choose to step up to the plate and say, "God, I choose to lay myself down and die that you might live through me," miracles start happening, amen? When I begin to ask and seek him with all my heart, things start happening around my heart life. Unusual miracles begin to happen. He gave me my wife back. He gave me my children back. He gave me my health back. He started establishing himself as the Lord on the inside. You see, today so many people are singing lots of Christian songs, but they're not letting the word of God live in them, amen? They're not spending time in the word of God. And today I want to challenge you as a people that God's calling us again to awaken ourselves to the Word of God and begin to eat and devour that Word of God so it lives on the inside of us, so it becomes flesh on the outside of us. Amen? Come on, keep me going, brother. That's my catch cry. If anybody comes around my life, it's come on, come on, come on, because I'm hoping that you'll exhort me to press on, because I'm here tonight to exhort you to press on. Amen? In whatever call you've got on your life, we're not here to champion ourselves. We're not here to lift ourselves up. We're here to lift up Jesus, amen? Yes. He says in these days, and I believe it with all my heart, he's raising up an army. Yes. He's raising up an army of people. And Daniel 11:32 speaks. It's an end time prophecy. And it says this: those who know their God will be strong and do exploits. Do you know that every promise of God is calling you to greater things? Amen. Is that the truth? Yeah. And you shall do greater things because he's gone to the Father. Yeah. And this day God is saying, listen, mediocrity's got to drop off your feet. You've got to shake off that complacency. You've got to press against the atmosphere, the unbelief that's in the atmosphere, and begin to triumph in Christ. Amen. Begin to trumpet his word. Begin to trumpet his praise. Begin to trumpet in your mouth, hallelujah, the word of God, and speak to people. What I find is when I open my mouth, in the most bizarre circumstances, God is always gone there before me. I'll be wrestling away with God. How am I going to share with this one? And the moment I'll do that, God will turn up. Seen some funny things, just to share a few things. This is walking with Jesus is fun, amen? Walking with Jesus is exciting. Walking with Jesus is power. Sometimes in my weakest moments, when I'm struggling in my job, when I just can't seem to find enough strength to put my foot one foot in front of the other, I'll walk into a house, and I'll be struggling away, putting in my TVs and stuff, and I'm always saying, God, please give me an opportunity to share. And oftentimes when that happens, the conversation starts and it's pretty hard going, and you think, God, how am I ever going to reach in? How am I ever going to reach into this person's life? But I remember a farmer on the other side of Hamilton here, and I was sharing my story of Jesus, and you see the whole thing, it's about power and presence. I'm sharing my story, and he's listening. I'm sharing as much word as I can press, and he's listening. I'm speaking prophetically as much as I can, and he's listening. But at the end of it, he's not going anywhere. And at the end of it, I'm thinking, God, I pray, I fast, I study, but nothing's happening. And as I get out to the carriage, I say to him, listen, his name's Peter. He said, Peter, I said, listen, all our arguments apart, all of them aside, I said, I know that Jesus Christ is God, and I know he lives. You know how I know? It's because I've got a relationship with him. And when I pray, God answers my prayers. I love this because this happens time and time again. Then out of the blue, from a place of total looking like nothing's going to happen, he says, all right then, my wife's in the kitchen. She's in pain. She's crying in the kitchen. She can't get free of this pain. I said, right, bring her here and I'll pray for her and she'll get healed. He goes off to get his wife. I burst into tears because I love Jesus, but it's still not about me. Here I am feeling weak and he's wandering off to get his wife. And I'm thinking, God, I know this is your word, this is your truth, but we still struggle in our flesh. Brings his wife back. I don't have time to share very much with her about the message that I've been sharing with him. Just said, listen, as simply as this, God is real. He loves you and he wants to heal you. Will you let me pray for you? As I prayed for her, the power of God came on her. Hallelujah. The next thing, she was able to bend over and move, and she was shuffling around and just absolutely ecstatic. What I noticed was this little lady went from unbelief to faith in one moment with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The man who knew nothing about God, and it would have taken me how many ever weeks to try and talk my way through explaining it, he came from unbelief to faith. Within a few nights, he had me at his mother's place praying for her in hospital, and she got powerfully touched by God. Reconciled the family through just the obedience to begin to speak and begin to pray. What I want to say is, in one moment, I raised up a radical evangelist. When I seen her a couple of weeks later, she was saying to me, Denise was saying, Jeff, you can't shut Peter up. All he does is every time somebody comes in the gate, he wants to tell them about this radical sky man who came into their place, prayed for them, and she got healed. And I want to tell you that this is the way God wants us to radically change our nation. Yeah. It's not by you wrestling or arguing or trying to persuade your way into the kingdom. It's by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen. He said he came with a baptism of fire for the believer. Hallelujah. And I tell you what, if there ain't fire inside of you, you're going to have to spend some time and get it. Because you need the fire. I don't go out to work casually chewing on gum, thinking about what the All Blacks are going to play tomorrow night or what I want to do when I get home from work, when I get in to watch TV. I'm going out there, and as I get in my car, it's, give me the nation! Give me the city! Give me souls! Yes. Hallelujah! And people say to me, but Jeff, God's not deaf. I don't care. This isn't about God. He loves me. He hears everything I say. I'm talking to the devil. I'm talking to Jeff. You listen, Jeff. You're anointed. You listen, son of God. You were purposed for such a time as this. You listen, man of God. Don't you dare let cowardness and fear stop you from walking in the anointing that's on your life. For the righteous are what? Bold. As bold as a lion. And I'll tell you what, that's not my experience in most Christian churches. They'll sing the songs, oh, I'm righteous, I am set free. The moment they get outside, don't talk to me. Don't talk to me. Don't talk to me. And now it takes a conference to get people saved, where Jesus said, I'll send you out two by two and you'll bring revival. Hallelujah. I want to challenge you. There's revival going to be birthed in your spirit as we walk through this night and into tomorrow. Everywhere I go, I just walk from house to house and I watch the power of God turn up. And what I want to ask, I walk into some places. I walked into a place on the other side of Hamilton. Again, another wearing morning where I was exhausted and there was a lot of work and there was lots of sky machines to be put in the house and it was a really hard job. And this guy was a Chinese guy and I was just talking to him about the love of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. And he was just saying to me, he said, I'm really religious. I thought, praise God. I said, religion won't help you, buddy. You need relationship. You need relationship with the Holy Spirit. Do you know anything about him? And he said to me, look, I've been to some camps where we wait on God. We wait on God. I said, well, God's here. He's here now. And anyway, I carried on doing my job. And he said, would you pray for me, buddy? I'd always wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. He was saying in broken English. I said, okay, praise God. I started praying. The next thing, he falls on the ground, just weeping and wailing, babbling in tongues. He couldn't shut him up. Hallelujah. That's the God we serve. Amen. Another guy in Teomutu, the same thing, walked into his house. As I get up the stairs to put in his sky, I notice he's got a crooked leg. And I'm thinking, how can I share with this guy? How can I tell him about the goodness of God? And he starts telling me all about Sai Baba and telling me his doctrine of faith. And as I'm sharing with him, I'm thinking, how do you get past? How do you break into this life? But underneath in my spirit, I'm saying, Holy Spirit, come. I know you love him. I'm prepared to step out if you'll give me a way. Make a way for me. And then just when it looks impossible, the guy says, would you like a cup of coffee? I thought, praise God for cups of coffee. Hallelujah. So I'm up at the table and I said, listen, buddy, what's wrong with your leg? And he said, oh, not my leg, buddy, it's my back. I said, can I tell you, I'm a Christian. I share my testimony. It comes out like a machine gun. I'm so used to do it. I do it every day, over and over and over again. Just to anybody that'll listen, I tell them about how good God is. And he says, oh, well, he says, I'm making the coffee. He says, that's good for you. He said, but I believe all this stuff. And he told me all the stuff he believes. I said, that's good. That's called idolatry. I said, you're making up a God to suit yourself. He said, well, that's pretty hard. I said, well, that's the truth. I said, you've made up a God in your mind, and I made up one in mine. But I said, I got power and I got presence. Hallelujah. And I want to pray for you and show you that God's real. Can I pray for your back? And he said, sure, if you like. So I laid my hands on him, started praying. The next thing, he just weeps and starts sobbing his eyes out. And a quarter of an hour later, without me saying another word, he says, it's Jesus, isn't it? It's Jesus. I said, yeah, buddy, it's Jesus. Hallelujah, come on. It's the God we serve. It's the God we serve. He's wanting to break through that veil of unbelief in people's lives. And he said, it's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Amen. Some of you may have stronger giftings in different areas. My gift is just straight out loving God and releasing the word. I'm just like a river. I won't shut up. And out of that, all I see is lives get saved, families get healed, churches get planted. Jesus said, there's a kingdom within you. Amen. Say that with me. There's a kingdom within me. You almost sounded like you might believe it. There's a kingdom within me. That kingdom and the king are living in me. And they want out. I tell you what, Jesus is just waiting for us to get past ourselves, over ourselves, round ourselves, under ourselves, whatever you have to do, but to let Jesus out. I could go on for hours just of stories of God's miracle-working power as I move into place after place after place, seeing unusual miracles. But right now I know God's saying, listen, church, there is an open window over this place. There's an open window in the Spirit right now and an invitation for you to come up, an invitation to you lay hold of something fresh in the anointing, amen? Because God wants everyone in this place to be radically used by the Holy Spirit to bring a revival to our city and to our nation. When I came alongside Dennis, you know what I love about this young man? He's only a fraction of the time I've been in the Lord. But what I've seen is he's got a faith and he's got a bulldog mentality. Grabs a hold of the bone and won't let go. And in the few years he's been moving, he's moved and done greater things than most of us have done in most of our long times as being a Christian. And I honor for him for that. I honor what's in him. I see that he's hungry. He chases after the anointing. Chases after the message of the power. Because he knows it works. But I'm sick of hearing it in Africa. Amen. I'm sick of hearing it in India. There's something in my heart that said, this is for us now. New Zealand now. Every experience I've ever had has been in New Zealand now. Pressing the boundaries. Laying a hold of God. And every day I get up, it's the same thing. Jeff, you're a bit boring. Yep. Same old record. Step out of bed. Father, I love you. God, I love you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your power. Give me this nation. Give me souls. Let me heal the sick. Let me cast out devils. And it happens. It happens because God says this. He says, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Amen. And to get our heart to come in line, we've got to be speaking the things of God. When I feel least like anything of His presence around me, all I'm doing is shouting, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. And then I step into the next house and power will break out. Miracles will start happening. Do you know what? The anointing was sent here. Hallelujah. Not just to make us fall over on the altar call. Did you know that? This is something revelation. It wasn't just to make you feel tickled and all that. That's not what it's there for either. It was to destroy yokes, amen, and remove burdens. It was to take little ordinary New Zealanders and turn them into mighty men and women of God. It was take the weak and make them strong. To take the wise and make them foolish and take the foolish and make them wise. Hallelujah. For the kingdom of our God has come and it's here tonight. And this conference, I'm praying I can provoke you. I'm praying I can do whatever it takes to shake the chains of every excuse off your life. I couldn't speak. I had a spirit of fear on my life when I got saved. But as I've pressed through, God has delivered me. He's delivered me over and over again. He don't care. The devil's trying to shut you up. I got this when I woke up this morning. I got the picture of in John 11 of Lazarus locked up behind the with a rock in front of the tomb. Do you know? And Jesus is a few days away, and his disciples hear that he's going back to Lazarus, but he says he's sleeping. And God always speaks things different to how we see them. And the disciples saying, "We're going to pray for him." No, he's asleep. And they thought, "Well, that's good. There's hope." But you see, what I realize is most of our lives, most of the call of God's been shut back up behind that rock. It's been shut back up behind that rock. We've been discouraged so many times, we've got to a place of just hoping instead of actually stepping into it. Hope, to me, undermines the power of what God wants to do in the now. Whenever I take a risk, God turns up. When I take a risk on last Saturday, I just done a conference down in Wellington, and I came back from Wellington, and there's a guy down there who runs a medical clinic. And I really got on well. He got on fire. He was really excited. He wanted to make some open doors because he'd seen some miracles. And out of the blue, he rings me. This is two Saturdays ago. And he rings me and says, "Jeff, I'm sitting here. I can't hardly walk." He said, "I've got a prostate problem." And he said, "I'm passing blood. The doctors can't stop the infection." They said, "Look, I'm in agony. They don't know what to do. I can pass a little bit of urine, but then it stops. And then at the moment, they haven't pushed me in the hospital. But he says, I want you to pray." I was driving home again from my work, feeling tired, but praying in tongues, hoping in God, trumpeting out over my day that my God heals and my God delivers. And then the phone rings, and I'm thinking, okay. So I said, "Look, I'll ring you when I get home." So I rang him when I got home, and I said, "Listen, I want you to agree with me because I found something powerful. You see, I want to give you some keys here. When you come to heal the sick in New Zealand, it's not always easy. Anybody want to testify to that? When you step out there, often you're praying. And often when you do pray, it don't happen. Anybody experience that? But I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to say this. I want you to come to understand that the miracle is coming. You've just got to learn to press through for it. And that's something I've learned over these years. I've learned how to press through for miracles. One thing I realized is, this man was telling me, he said, "Look, I went to Bill Sabritsky last week. He prayed for me, felt something happen, nothing's changed. Got the same symptoms, it's getting worse. They can't stop the bleeding, can't stop the infection. I'm a mess, you know, I can't walk, can't even get to work. Will you pray?" Now this little Kiwi boy, he started praying. I said, "Listen, I can't even remember his name." I said, "Listen, just pray these with me, because I've learned that when you join people with you, when they open their mouth and start agreeing with you, something happens." So I started saying, "Listen, will you pray like this with me? Thank you, Father, you love me. Thank you, you want me to get healed. Thank you, by Jesus' stripes I'm healed." I started leading it. It was really struggling at the other end. I was thinking, "Oh, I can't feel any anointing here." So I said, and he was struggling in broken English because he was Indian. And I said to him, "Look, maybe you just say yes, Lord, after I speak." And he said, no, I want to follow you." So I said, "Okay, let's get pressing in." So I pressed in again. "Father, we thank you for fire to come and devour the enemy. We thank you that healing's our portion. We thank you for the anointing that destroys the yoke. We thank you, God, that it's your purpose that I'm healed." And I'm roaring like this. And all of a sudden I said, "What's happening, mate?" I'd probably prayed for a quarter of an hour. He said, "Oh, the pain's going." I said, "Oh, praise God. Go into the loo and see what happens." So he went into the loo and he came back and said, Jeff, he said, "I can go full stream. Full stream." This is exciting. Because even though nobody tells you, a lot of men have this problem. Amen. And anyway, he came back and he said, "There's a full stream, Jeff, and I feel so good." I said, "Well, on a scale of 1 to 10, I said, where's the pain?" "Oh, he said, it's about 6. I said, What do you mean? There's still pain? Oh, yeah, no, I'm going well, bladder, but I've got a pain in my bowel. And I said, oh, that's terrible. Oh, no, but he said, it's all right. I love this. I hate this, actually. I love it. They tell you, they find an excuse for why the pain's going to stay. So he said to me, the pain's there because of all the medicine I've been taking, all the medical stuff I've been taking, drugs and stuff, and so that's why I've got the pain. I said, in your face, Satan! In the name of Jesus! And I rose up, something of fire come in my belly, I tell you. I started roaring, and I prayed on, and when I finished, it was 45 minutes, he told me afterwards. And he said, Jeff, I'm running on the spot on the other end of the phone. He said, there's absolutely 100% healed. He said, there's no pain left. He said, and he rang me, I've got a text on my phone on Monday. He said, I'm still 100% healed, he said. He said, I'm 100% free, and it's a miracle, praise God. And what I want to say to you is, what I've learned to do in my Christian walk, which so few of us have, is how to press through. I won't give up. I won't give up. Jesus said in Luke 18, he says, when he comes back, will he find this sort of faith on earth that will pray until they get an answer? And what I've realized is when I began learning to pray, when I was a young Christian, I'd pray with every word I knew in the Bible. Father, in the name of Jesus, I command, and if nothing happened, I used to get discouraged, but then I realized it's not my worry. My God said he's already won healing for my life, amen? By his stripes, we're what? Do you know what that means? We're healed. Do you know what that means? It actually means he broke every legal right Satan has to put sickness on you. So many times we claim that scripture, by his stripes we're healed. He says, I know that. I gave you, commanded you to cast the demon of sickness out and command that sickness to leave. And you're still reminding me of what I did. What are you going to do? Whoa. It was a revelation to my heart only a few weeks ago that I'd been claiming by his stripes I was healed, by his stripes I was healed. When I prayed for this man last Saturday, I'd had a revelation of the warfare I was in. I realized that meant he'd finished, completed the whole work at the cross of Calvary. He paid and he fulfilled every legal requirement of the law for my life. Amen? It says that completely annihilate every handwriting of requirements that was against us through the law. He said, it's finished. I've healed you. Anything that's not of healing then belongs to the other kingdom. Hallelujah. He said, pray like this. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that was the key that turned me on last Saturday to fight for this man's healing. Because I realized that he'd said, I'm healed, or he's healed. So if he's not healed, it's not of God. We're not begging God. Oh God, why won't you heal? Father, you gave me authority. You've given me dominion. Do you understand that? Revelations, I think it's 5:10, says this, that God's called us to be a kingdom of kings and priests. And as we stir ourselves up to war, I tell you what, something happens. As you start laying a hold of the claim that's on your life, something happens. The Spirit of God comes on your life, amen? Windows start opening over your life. Faith comes, anointing comes, breakthrough comes. And I've seen it over and over again. When I was in my church in Tierra, we saw broken collarbones healed. I heard God speak to me and say, listen, son, you're going to do miracles. And I thought my vision of miracles was, I just say, in the name of Jesus, and boom, immediately healed. And so when I heard him speak to me about miracles, and the first young man came into the church with a broken collarbone, and I looked at him and I said to him, son, I want to pray for you in the name of Jesus that you'll be healed. He said, no, pastor. He says, doctors told me 12 weeks before my collarbone will be healed. I said, okay, son, but God can heal it. Oh, no, I'm right, pastor. And he wanders off. But you know, God's got a way of provoking, hallelujah, the anointing to come on your life and in other people's lives. Next morning as he came to church, he walks into church, wanders up the front, and as he's wandering through the crowd, all of a sudden somebody bangs into him. And he starts crying and screaming and goes down on the ground, crying in pain. And while the worship team's worshiping up the front here, I moved down the back and started praying with every word and religious thing I could do. And eventually I ran out of words and I just started praying in tongues. And quarter of an hour later, I said, what's happening? He said, oh, the pain's going. Prayed a little bit longer. The next thing, he's got the sling off his shoulder and he's throwing kids off. He had kids on his shoulder and he's running around the room praising God. And what I've come to realize is, you see, you've got to press in for your miracle. Amen. We've let the environment, we've let the demons, we've let the spiritual climate we live in say that we can't have those things. But that is your inheritance. That is your birthright. Come on. That is your birthright. This is your birthright. First and foremost, that you walk in the anointing. Your birthright is that these signs shall follow. This nation needs revival. This nation needs to see God in action. Amen? And what I want to say to you tonight is, listen, you cannot read the Bible without seeing on every page that Jesus did miracles. When John the Baptist was struggling whether Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God or not, and he went and asked John the Baptist, Did Jesus start explaining that in Romans chapter 8, which was going to be written in a little while, he was going to teach about there is therefore now no condemnation in Christ? Or was he going to talk about justification in faith or any of the sanctification by the Holy Spirit? Did he speak about any of those things? No, he didn't. He just qualified his ministry by one thing. Go and tell John. The dead are raised, the blind see, deaf hear, cripples walk, hallelujah, and blessed are those who are not offended on behalf of me. Well, the exhortation I've got, if I've got anything here tonight at all, is to say to you, come on, children of God. Come on, sons and daughters of God. Press into God. Press into God. Press into God. Lay a hold of him. Amen? Because it's worth it. This year I lost my son-in-law. And in cleaning up, he was only 24 and got killed tragically in a car accident. And Diane's his mum's here tonight too. And both of us had seen this young man come into a powerful spiritual encounter with Jesus. But we watched life circumstances drag him back into the world, and he ended up killed tragically in a car accident. But you know, it was one of the most pivotal turning points in my life when I went to pick up all the gear that he had and all the things that he invested in. He had a boat and he had PlayStations and he had stereos and 40-inch TVs and he had everything, table tennis, all the toys of the world. But all of a sudden I realized, we love you, Brad. But the thing that I realized was that, look, at the end of it, none of the things we have count for anything. Yeah. If you and I don't have a message inside of us, if we don't bring some fruit that lasts, all these things. But I've had farms, I've run businesses, I've had shearing contracting gangs, I can wire your house, plumb your house, fix your car, I can do all sorts of skills, but they're going to die and go to the grave. Yeah. But the only thing that's going to be valuable in my life is those things I've done for Jesus. Jesus said, this is my will that I do and finish the work that my Father sent me to do. And that wasn't just so that for Jesus, that was called for you and I, amen? There's a call of God on this people, on our nation. There's a call of God on you here tonight. You've come out, as Dennis said, on a Friday night. Come on, you've come to listen to this little guy try and inspire you to believe God for greater things. He's given me properties, but tonight he wants you to really lift your voice up and start saying, God, I don't care what the excuses that stopped me last year. This is my year. Amen? Yes. This is my year. And this conference is my conference. Because until you own it as your own, if you're looking to accept something from me, you'll never get what you could get from God. You've got to say you've come here and this is going to be your night. Amen? You're going to press through the unbelief like the woman with the issue of blood. Press through the crowd and lay a hold of the anointing that's on Jesus. You're going to press through for the commissioning. You're going to press through for the call. You're going to press through for whatever it is you need. I love this piece in Corinthians where it says, examine yourself, find out whether you're in the faith. And I think most of us really wouldn't like that to happen. Because the signs of our faith should be the devil's cast out. You know, the people are healed and multitudes are being saved. But I think sometimes it's good to have a look and see, are we growing in God? Yeah, if I was to ask you, how many people have you led to Christ in the last year? How many people have put in church? How many people have you seen healed in this last year? I could probably ask you how many conferences you've been to and there'd be a whole lot of hands go up. But it's not the conference. It's what we do with the word, amen? Spent a year with Todd Bentley in Canada watching signs and wonders and miracles. But what I realized is I'd seen the same signs and wonders and miracles in New Zealand. And that I think God took me over there to show me that when you walk with God, the same miracles were happening here. I saw him struggle and getting people didn't get healed just as much as I've struggled and not seen people get healed. But all I know is that the difference that marks his life or marks other men of God that go forward is that they don't give up. They won't let go. They're going after this anointing. They're going to walk in this anointing. They're going to live this anointing. They're going to talk this anointing. They're going to breathe God, amen? Say this with me. Spirit of the living God, is upon me. And God has anointed me to preach the gospel. Father, fill me with Holy Spirit fire, with a Holy Spirit vision, with you, with more of your love for the lost, for more of an urgency to pray and see the strong man broken over our city. Amen. You know, I was once told I was very presumptuous. I think actually Sue told me off because I said when I go out to pray often over my city, I say, this is my city, God. Give it to me. And Sue Rowe told me, no, Jeff, it's my city. Give it to me. And I love that because until you own that you have some part to play in the salvation of this city, till you start crying out and say, give me the city. Yes. Well, it's always the pastor or the church or the fella down the road. But when you start crying, God hears your cry. I tell you what, I walk out and unusual miracles happen when I start crying. God, give me the city. God, give me the city. And I remember just watching over and over God showing me that if you will perfectly purpose yourself to seek his face, he will order your steps. One of the funniest things I saw just a little while ago was a random day where I'm doing all the things I always do, get in my car, put on the worship, pray in tongues, cry out for my city. And I just randomly running through my day, but I ended up at a house on the other side here in over in this part of Hamilton. And just randomly ended up at a house, knocked on the door. It was about 2:30 in the afternoon. I hear this shuffling. Eventually somebody comes to the door, and the guy opened it up and I said, "Look, I've just come here to install Freeview." And the guy said to me, I said, "Oh, you can come in and do it if you like." And he said, "Sorry about this," but he said, "I can't walk properly." But he said, "I'll go and sit back in the corner." So he shuffled back to the seat, and I thought, "Oh, thank you, Jesus, somebody to pray for." And as I walked in the door, I looked around, because this is the key I've got in every circumstance. In Acts 17, it says that Paul wandered through the city and eventually saw that they were very spiritual, but he began to preach to them about the unknown God, amen. So I'm always looking, because I know God's always gone in front of me. I'm always looking, my eyes are always open, trying to find some doorway that I can get in to talk to them about Jesus. So I'm looking around, and I looked on the bottom shelf of this particular table, and I saw some Christian tapes. And I said to this young man, I said, "Listen, are you a Christian?" He said, "Yeah, I'm a Christian." So I started sharing my story about my testimony and things, and he looked absolutely bored. And I thought, well, that's cool. Not my business whether he's interested. I've done my bit, God. You know, that's fine. But he says, "Look, there is one interesting thing." He says, "In 30 minutes, we're having a home group here." I said, "Oh, is that right?" "Yeah." And he said, "So I thought, that's interesting. That'll be exactly the time I finish my job. He's going to have a home group here." So I thought in my heart, "Lord, I'm here for a purpose, so I'm going to stay." So at 3:00, the door opens, and in walks a pastor and a couple of other men. And I see another big man walking through the room, and he's limping. So I thought, thank you, Jesus, another one to pray for. He walks through and sits down. They're laughing. "Ha, ha, 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 ha. Yeah, we've locked you in. You can't get out. We've locked you in the drive. You're stuffed. You're stuck." And I thought, I just said, "Look, I've already decided to stay." And they said, "Really?" "Yeah." I said, "I've decided to stay. I want to be. I'm a Christian. I'd like to stay." And so I said, "What are you reading today? What are you studying?" And they said, "Oh, we're studying from Matthew 8 and 9, which is talking about the healing of the leper, the woman with the issue of blood. It goes on and on. The healing of Peter's mother. It's just all about healing." I think, thank you, Jesus. And so we stood down and we read our couple of chapters each, and it goes around the room. And as it gets around, it comes around, and we finish it off. I thought, it's time for me to go. But I said, "Pastor, just before I go, can I possibly pray for this young man with a leg? Would you let me pray for him?" He said, "Yeah, that's fine. You can pray for him." So I went and prayed for him, and he got healed. Bang, power of God came. I said, How did this happen? He said, "I became a Christian a year ago, and on my way to church, I got knocked off my bike, and I've had this pain in my knee ever since." He'd been going to church, doing the Christian things, but he was carrying this pain in his knee. When I reached out and prayed, all of a sudden the pain left out of his knee and it changed. He's going, "Wow, this is incredible." Now this guy that wasn't interested at all of a sudden, whoop, he's straight in front of me. I don't know how he got there. All I know is all of a sudden he's pushing in front of me. Because the power and the presence, all of a sudden he realized there's something real about this. It's just not a story. So I started praying for this guy. The next guy, he's jumping up and down on his feet, kicking his shoes off. And he said, "Look, you've never seen me out of these shoes, have you? You've never seen me do this. My ankles feel strong and I can walk." And there was a revival. I brought a revival in the house. It was just so exciting. This is what Jesus is meant to do. You see, God ordered my steps. I just step up to a random house. But you see, we're looking for a divine encounter, thinking God's going to do it supernaturally. But I've come to realize I am the divine encounter. I'm the divine encounter. When I turn up, God turns up. Hallelujah! When you turn up, does God turn up? Hallelujah! Come on! I'm asking you and inspiring you. We're going from glory to glory. I want more. I want more. I'm not sitting here saying, "Look at me." I'm saying, "Come on, I'm hungry. I'm hungry. Are you hungry?" Because I want greater things. We still haven't seen the dead raised. We aren't still seeing the fire of God and people falling out in the spirit in our streets, convicted of sin. I have walked into houses where that has happened. Walked into one man's house, putting his TV in. There was a big Catholic Mary on the top of the thing. And I thought, "Oh, well, he must be a Catholic." Very discerning. So I said, "Look," I said, "can I take this off the TV and just put it to the side?" I said, "You're obviously Catholic." And I put it aside, and then I started sharing. The next thing, the man sitting in the chair, and he starts shaking up and down and coming like crazy all over the place. And he said, "Oh, God's here, God's here, God's here, God's here, God's here." And it was just the power of God hit him in the chair. Hallelujah. And I'm just going about putting in TV. Another lady at Huntley, same thing. I'm groveling around the floor, sharing, talking, babbling away. You see, I've realized that the kingdom comes near when I talk. Because what is the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And when I'm speaking and I'm teaching, I don't know all this. I just know how I've walked my life, and all I've seen is all of a sudden demons will manifest in people, voices will come out of them, and you start casting something out of somebody. I don't even start it. The Holy Spirit comes. Anointing comes into the room. They start shaking. I was in this Huntley this time, and I'm groveling around putting my TV in, and the little Maori lady's sitting in the other corner, and she's, this fire going through me. Praise God, I thought, thank you, Jesus. She had some issues of unforgiveness. We took her through some counseling, some prayer, and changed her life. I want to tell you, if you're carrying presence, the power comes. I mean, it's not about seeking the power, it's about seeking the presence. It's loving Jesus. You see, the way to overcome, there's three P's. If you want to write things down, because I know many of you, you can take shorthand, so I've given you three P's. Passion, perspective, and purpose. Or passion, purpose, and perspective. Bible says this, guard your heart, for out of come all the issues of life. Jesus said that if we will love him with all of our hearts, mind, soul, and strength, amen, and love our neighbours as ourselves, that's enough, sufficient to fulfill the whole law of the commandments, amen. And I've made that my life prophecy, scripture life. It undergirds everything I do. I'm passionate to give him more of my heart, trying to learn ways to get more of him and less of me. And so I guard my passion. I determine. I'm religious. Do you know that? People say to me, Jeff, you're so religious. You read the Bible from end to end every year. You pray like an hour just by the clock. What a religious man are you? I said, yeah, I am. I said, I'm religious. I'm religiously killing my flesh because my flesh would only pray for 5 minutes and my Bible study would only go for 5 minutes. But by the Spirit of God, I'm nailing that sucker to the cross. Hallelujah. And I'm going to live in the Spirit. I've learned that some of these things set me free. They've delivered me and they've empowered me. And now I see the fruit of Jesus moving through my life in everything I do. So tonight, in closing here, I just want to encourage you. This is just the beginning, amen. Are you hungry? I mean, really hungry. Yeah. I want to say to you tonight, when you come to a conference like this, there's an option given. You can either engage what's going on in the Spirit, or you can sit back. If you study from the beginning of the Bible to the end, you always found the crowd. It's always sitting out there. It's always just the one or two that'll decide they want something and they get something. Crowd pressing around Jesus. And one little lady gets down on her hands and knees and shovels through the crowd. And she says, I can only touch the hem of his garment. Bang! She receives power. Hallelujah. This is the whole message of the gospel. Is you've got to press in. God's here. I'm going to invite you. I'm going to open up the altar tonight. We're just going to believe that God's going to begin something here this evening, amen? The prayer I have tonight is that you will pray this. You'll say, God, enlarge my heart. Enlarge my heart. Enlarge my faith. Bring me to a place where my hunger is so consuming for you that all those things of the world will drop away. That the things of old, the excuses will drop away. And I'll become a vessel open to hear your voice. Open to be used by you powerfully. That you're going to go after that same anointing, amen? Long enough have you sat in conferences, God's saying, this is your day. This is your day to own up and claim that anointing and say, that's mine, in Jesus' name. You might need some Holy Ghost boldness. Tell you what, that's where God turns up. You start praying and speaking and living the way I do, and all of a sudden you'll find it's not hard. You'll find you're stepping into circumstances that you would never have had the guts to before, and you'll see God turn up. Hallelujah. So I'm going to ask you, if you can just stand to your feet, everybody. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Praise God. My biggest challenge tonight is, if there's anybody here that doesn't know Jesus, if there's anybody who hasn't made that transition into the kingdom of God, I want to say to you tonight, this is the greatest decision you could ever make. Amen. When you invite Jesus in, you change kingdoms. The Bible says that the kingdom of darkness is filled with anger, hate, lust, greed, and ultimately death. But God gives you an invitation to come into the kingdom of love. And life and abundance. Amen. Healing and deliverance. That's the kingdom. So I'm going to ask, I'm just going to ask you to look into your own heart. You know where you're with God right now. But I believe that you've come out this night. You've come here for a purpose. And I want to invite you tonight to respond and come, that we may begin to pray. The Holy Spirit might begin to do something fresh and new in your life. That you would start to experience, even tonight as you're going home, a fresh dream and a fresh vision, so that when you come back in the morning, you'll be so ready, hallelujah, with your own testimony of what God's done overnight, that you'll be shouting from the rooftops, amen. God is doing it. It's God at work in me. It's the Holy Spirit, amen. So, Father, I just ask you right now, Lord, look on the hearts here, Lord. These are your children. Father, we just thank you, God, for Lord, what you've done and what you do through a willing vessel. But Father, I know that each and every one of these out here is hungry for the power. Each and every one of them out here is hungry for that experience of your anointing. God, I know there's nobody out here tonight that doesn't want to see a harvest. And Father, we know that you are the worker. You are the work within them. You're the person that, hallelujah, they need to engage in this hour, Lord God, in order to fulfill that. So Father, I'm just going to ask you to come, Holy Spirit. Come, Father God, with your Holy Spirit fire tonight, Lord God. And begin to put fire back on the altar. For those who've been discouraged, those who feel like they've been trodden down, who've lost hope and lost vision, I pray tonight, Lord God, that you're going to impart vision to them. That as they come forward for ministry, Lord God, they'll not only, Father God, Lord, just hear the prayer, but they'll receive a fresh anointing in Jesus' name. Father, the work of the gospel is this, that we would lay hands on the sick and they'll be healed. So, Father, I'm praying tonight that even as we step into this evening and into tomorrow, that stubborn sicknesses will be, Father God, broken in Jesus' name. Broken off lives, that there'll be deliverance in this house tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. That there's nothing too hard for our God. There's nothing too hard for our God. That, Lord God, you would speak to hearts tonight to respond. And as they would come forward, Father God, Lord, that you would meet them here at the altar. And they would be altered. They would be changed. They would be delivered. They'd be refreshed. They'd be restored in Jesus' name. I just feel there are quite a number of you that I know you've pressed in for a long season. And it feels like at times that it's like the door's just been shut in front of you. But I feel God saying that it is a new day. This is a new day. This is a new day, says your God. When I would open that door that's been shut in front of you, indeed I would rebuke the devourer. Indeed I would press back against the enemy that has been pressing against you. But this is a day, says God, when I would raise you up. When I would have put a fresh breath of my anointing on your life. When I would mark you for new things and release new gifts in you, says your God. Respond to me tonight, son. Respond to me tonight, daughter. For indeed I will pour out my spirit. I will pour out my spirit. I will pour out my spirit. And I will ignite that passion that was once burning bright for me, says God. In Jesus' name. The altar's open. I just ask you to come. Ask you to come in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hungry, hungry, hungry. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Fire of God, come. Lord, our eyes are on you. Our eyes are on you. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. You're the King of hope. King of destiny. Come and touch us, Lord. Come and touch us, Lord. Come and touch us, Lord. Holy Spirit, come and touch this, Lord. Touch us, Lord. Touch us, Lord. Prayer team here, just come and join us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
So what we're going to do is Jeff's going to start praying for people. There's several people with red bands on them. And these are our ministry team. They can pray for you, lay hands on you. They're safe people. People that I know move in the spirit. So if someone prays for you that doesn't have a red band, slap them. No, don't. But they're safe. Nigel's forgotten his red band. So he's safe too. So that's how we're going to work it. If you want more of God's presence in your life, if you want a breakthrough, if you're sick in this place, I want to challenge you tonight to come forward. I don't care how many times you've been prayed for. There's a story in the Bible of the widow who continuously sought justice. And there was an unjust judge, and he would never give justice. But one day he got sick of that old lady knocking on the door. And that's the same sometimes of us. We've got to keep on knocking and that judge will give us justice. Jesus wants to heal us. There's something about continually coming to God. He wants to set you free. He wants to see you empowered. He wants you moving in all things that He promised. So tonight, if you're in the back row, you're going, well, I don't know. Well, just come on and just test God and see what He can do in your life. Come up the front and see God touch and move you into the all things. There's something powerful that happens in the altar when you have an open heart to receive what God has for you. I've seen the miraculous happen all over this nation because people come to the altar. Have an expectant heart. Believe God at His word. God is not a man that He may lie, but He, everything He says is true and truth. And He's going to back up His word. So let's just go into a place of worship and believe God for the impossible in your life. Glory. Come on.
Day, lit incense, arise. Day and night, night and day, lit incense, arise. Day and night, night and day, lit incense, arise. Day and night, night and day, lit incense, arise. Day and night, night and day, incense, arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. From you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You have won the victory. Hallelujah. You did all for me. Death could not hold you down. You are the risen King, seated in majesty. You are the risen King. Hallelujah. You have won the victory. Hallelujah.
Well, we're going to continue here at the altar. Again, I put an invitation out. We're here to pray for you. Any situation. I just feel such a sweet presence of the Lord in this building. Anyone agree with me? Anyone kind of like, wow, that's pretty cool. The thing I love about these conferences is that we're not restricted to time. We're not going to rush it through. If you don't like long-winded preachers, you're in trouble. What happens in these environments is that that faith builds. And so tomorrow morning, I'm going to be speaking a message that builds on this message that was spoken tonight. And I believe it's going to impart something into you. And so you need to be here. And then Don McDonnell will be speaking in the next session. He'll build something on. It's line by line, precept by precept. And then Jeff will get up again, then myself, and then the last session. And I believe God is just that the Holy Spirit's going to move so powerfully. There's just going to be an atmosphere of expectation for the miraculous. These things build. You don't want to miss any of these sessions. So get a babysitter. Or bring the baby here. Drag your mama. Bring your dog. Bring everybody you know. I'm expecting to see you tomorrow. Thanks for coming tonight. But if you need prayer for anything, I mean anything, come up the front. If you haven't got what you wanted so far, come up the front again. The only good thing about gluttony in Christianity has been a gluttony on the Holy Spirit, because you can never get enough. All right, guys, thank you. Bless you so much. And we'll see you tomorrow. But we're going to keep on going, team. Graham's going to lead us and some more worship, so just stick around if you want. But looking forward to seeing your beautiful faces tomorrow. God bless you and thank you. Oh, here we go. Hey, dude, what's your name?
Ron. My name's Ron. God is good. Part of my top of my neck has been very sore on and off for a long time, and I just happened to turn it like this, and it's like driving a knife in. It doesn't happen all the time, but when it does, it's just like... And I believe tonight it's less probably by 30 or 40% of what happened. And I just praise God for that. Amen.
Awesome. Thank you. It's awesome. And we're going to believe by the end of it, bro, it's going to be 100%. Come on. I was in a church the other weekend and prayed for a lady. She was 70 years old. She couldn't see a foot in front of herself, a meter in front of herself. She was going blind. And so I prayed for her in the name of Jesus for her eyes to come straight, because one eye was crooked. You know, when you look at people with crooked eyes, it's kind of like, what eye do I look at? One of those situations. And she couldn't see, so I prayed for her. I laid hands on her and said, in the name of Jesus, come into divine alignment, you eyes. And she got a little excited because she felt something. I took my fingers off her eyes, and lo and behold, both her eyes were back to normal. And she said, hey, can you hold it? Test it. And she grabs my hand and puts one hand over her eye and says, all right, show me how many fingers, you know, hold up some fingers. This girl had been to a crusade or two before. And so I stood back a couple of meters and I held up two fingers. And she says, that's two. Test the other eye. So she puts her hand up on the other eye. Two. And then I tried some other random things and she was completely healed. Age, my friend. She's 70 years old. She could have said, well, I'm getting old. But that's not the kingdom, my friends. There's no excuses in the kingdom for your healing. So we're going to press through in faith. And we're going to press through and we're going to be bold as a lion when we go out of this place. And we're going to see miracles. We're going to see the miraculous. Same Jesus that raised Christ from the dead lives in each and every single one. The same spirit lives in every believer here. And that's a pretty powerful spirit, right? Okay, guys, anyone else with a testimony? All right, we're all shy Kiwis. That's awesome. All right. Thank you for coming out. God bless you. See you tomorrow.